One of the first reasons is that over the years, the investments that have been made in safe drinking water programs have not been sustainable. And by that, I mean there wasn't sufficient attention given to making sure that wells and hand pumps don't break down, that local communities have the knowledge and the capacity to maintain them on their own without external intervention. But there's another piece of it, which is that sanitation and toilets often go hand in hand with safe drinking water programs. And we've seen a huge lack of political will to address safe drinking water and sanitation as a package.
As we know now, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee has passed the act, as well as the U.S. House of Representatives just this week. So what do these steps really mean for this act?
Well, it's the closest the Water for the World Act has come to becoming law in the 6 years that we've been working on it. The Senate is currently considering it under a unanimous consent procedure, and so we're just working with our Senate counterparts to make sure that all 100 senators feel confident that they understand the value of the bill and are happy to let it move forward. So we're very hopeful that we will succeed. I think regardless of whether it passes the Senate this week, one of the most important things that we've learned is that water sanitation and hygiene really are an issue that U.S. government officials and particularly members of Congress can come to appreciate and understand as a critical tool of U.S. foreign policy.
Just how important is this bill? What does it mean for people living without water and access to sanitation?
The main thing that it will do in practice is to help ensure that U.S. government investments in water and sanitation are being invested in the communities that need water and sanitation the most. So whether that's because they have very high rates of preventable childhood deaths from water and sanitation-related causes like diarrhea or pneumonia, or whether it's because they have very high rates of open defecation, it will help to really focus these dollars and the technical support and partnership from the U.S. government to make sure that the impact is felt by the people who really need that kind of partnership from the U.S. government.
Are there any particular regions right now that are being looked at?
Sub-Saharan Africa and South Asia are the regions in the world that have the greatest need. In particular, they have very high need for improved sanitation. So that's a toilet that's better than a hole in the ground. And just to give an example, in sub-Saharan Africa, 59% of the population does not have access to an improved toilet. So well more than half of the population, more than half a billion African citizens are defecating in the open right now. So this is a region that requires increased investment from donors, but also increased partnership with national governments to make sure that their own capacity is built.
Also, how can some of the existing programs be more effectively implemented?
One of the most important things that the Water for the World Act will do is increase the U.S. government's collaboration with local civil society organizations and community-based organizations, especially those working on the needs and rights of women and representing the voices of women. It's generally women and girls who are responsible for collecting water, and because of different privacy, cultural, and biological needs, who are more impacted by a lack of toilets. And so working closely with women's organizations helps to make sure that the services are the ones that are most needed and that they're acceptable for the people they're meant for.